Morning.
Morning.
It's great to be with you all again. This morning we're going to be continuing the series in the Ten Commandments that you've been having over the past few weeks. So I would love if you would turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, and we'll be reading verses 1 to 12 this morning. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 12. This is God's word. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honour your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Amen. So this morning we're going to be looking at the fifth commandment, which is honour your father and mother. And so before we start unpacking all that this commandment entails, I would like us just to remind ourselves of a few things that are important to remember when thinking about all the commandments. So the first thing is, and that this first thing is essential to remember, is that God did not give these commandments to Israel, his people, so that they could earn their place into the promised land. God chose Israel unconditionally and promised them the land. And then because of this, he sets out the commands so that they can live their lives in the way that God sees fit. God promised to bless them through land and through offspring. This was an incredible promise, and so Israel should be delighted to obey God's commands. The commandments were put in place so that everyone would live correctly in their relationship with God and with other people. The second thing I want us to remember is that God's commandments are an expression of God's character. The second commandment tells us that God is a jealous God. But these commandments also show us that God hates sin. These commandments show us how to live in a way that isn't sinful and that is good in the eyes of God. God wants his people to live in a way that loves God above all else and to have loving and respectful relations with other people. They also show us that God is the only God. We can have no other gods before him. And he proved to the Israelites that he was the one true God by saving them from Egypt. And he has proved that to us by sending his son Jesus. Because of this, he is the only God who is worthy to be praised. And so he is able to give us these commandments on how to live our lives. And third, the other thing I just want us to think about briefly is that these commandments are not alien concepts, that none of us can understand how these can lead to glorifying God. These commands are basic principles that if anyone followed them, it would lead to a more acceptable lifestyle. Not lying, stealing, murdering or coveting, and then taking rest, honouring our parents, loving God. These are all ways in which life is to be more fully enjoyed. And why is this? Because this is the way that God created us to be. This is the way he made us to live in harmony with him and with other people. Something else that is just good to know is how these commandments are split up. The first four commandments that you have already heard about are about how we relate to God, worshipping only Him, not using images to worship Him, not taking His name in vain, and taking rest to focus on Him. But with the fifth commandment, the second section of these commandments start, and they teach us how we are to relate to our neighbour, to other people here on earth. This commandment was probably placed right after the ones about our relationship with God, because the child-to-parent relationship is really the most foundational relationship that we have here on earth. It's also really the most similar relationship that we have to God. And so considering these points, let's move to the fifth commandment, honour your father and mother. This command is a positive command. It's not like the other ones that come after it that say, do not do this. This command is simply given that we must honour our father and our mother. I think this is really done because it's not just that we can't disrespect our parents, it's that we are to consciously honour and respect them. There can't be a middle ground. I think the easiest way for us to understand what this commandment is by answering a few questions that arise from it. We'll lay out some information about the aspects of the command, and then we'll look at what that should look like in our lives. And so the first question is, what does honour actually mean? Now, if we think of honour, we possibly think of someone being given an award, being honoured with an award that they have earned and that they deserve, maybe like a knighthood or an Oscar. We maybe also think of someone saying, we would be honoured to have you perform at our event. In that case, it means it's a privilege to have them do the task. Now, the word honour here is similar to the first one, but with a slight difference. Here it really means to give due respect or due weight to the person, because that person deserves that respect. In this case, though, parents don't have to do something in particular to be honoured. They're worthy of being honoured simply because they are the parents of their children. So this suggests that because of who our parents are, because they created us, they are due respect from their children. One commentator explains that honouring is really made up of three different aspects: reverence, obedience, and gratefulness. So we'll just have a brief look at what these mean. And so having reverence for someone is really to have a deep respect for them, a deep respect that they deserve. This means recognising parents for who they are, and for children, parents have authority over them. And children must respect and submit to their parents. Obeying your parents is expected because of their position also. Having reverence for your parents, having this deep respect for them, will inevitably lead to obedience. In the Old Testament, obedience to parents was an extremely serious matter. There were severe punishments for disobedient children. And even in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, tells us that children disobeying their parents is a sign of terrible times in the last days. So this is a really serious issue. Obedience is expected of children, though not because it's a hindrance of fun or to make children's lives miserable, but it's to bring them up in a way that is in accordance with the way that God desires. Gratitude for parents is a really important aspect as well. This means children being thankful for their parents for providing for them when they're under their care, when they're dependent on them. But it also ties in with when parents get a little bit older. Gratitude will often look like children looking after their parents when their parents are unable to look after themselves. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8 says, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Christians are called to provide for the members of their family. if they're unable to do it themselves, and if the children themselves are able to do that, this is a real expression of gratitude for parents. So we have a little bit of an idea now of what it looks like to honour parents with that reverence, with obedience, and with gratefulness. But the second question we might ask is, does this just apply to fathers and to mothers? This command obviously refers specifically to them, specifically to fathers and mothers. However, there is a little bit more to it than that. This command it was really included to pave the way for a harmonious society, for society to work well together. And so if children honoured and respected the authority of their parents in Israel, submission to other authorities came much more naturally. And this led to harmony in all aspects of society and all aspects of authority. If children grew up being taught to obey and to respect their parents, they're naturally going to be more willing to obey people who have authority over them in later life, and maybe situations like in school or in the workplace. The third question we ask of this commandment is, what does the promise mean? This is the only commandment with a promise that is offered after it. The command was given to Israel and followed with the promise that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is linked quite closely to how the command relates to all people who had authority in Israel. This command was God's way of saying, I have put people in authority over you, including your father and your mother, so you will honour them, so that your life and your community will flourish and life will be long and blessed. And so now we've laid out really what this command means and what it meant in the context of Israel. But it's a lot harder to see how this should look in our lives. The reality is that we all come from different homes, different backgrounds, and our relationships with our parents will not all look the same. A lot of us don't live with our parents anymore, so we may be wondering, does this command really apply to us? First of all, I want to clarify that this command does apply to everyone. Whether you still live with your parents, whether you don't live with them anymore, or maybe your parents have passed away. For those like myself who still live in their parents' house, this command is more obvious for us than most. Since we live in our parents' house, we are required to submit to their authority, do what they tell us to do, and respect them for who they are. If you're older, if you're an adult, and you also live with your parents, again, like me, there would be a certain degree of more freedom in the sense that you're able to make your own decisions. However, we're still called to honour our parents. This means obeying the rules of the house, generally not rebelling against what your parents have instructed. And for those who have moved out of their parents' house and are responsible for themselves, this does not completely remove the command to honour your parents. It will look more like respecting them and loving them, even though you no longer live together. Although you aren't under their authority anymore, honouring them will quite likely mean seeking their advice, taking it on board, because they will have more life experience than you. They will know you probably better than you really think. In this situation, the aspect of gratitude will also be very applicable here. You know, being willing to help your parents in whatever they need help with, or providing for them if you're able to, and they are unable to provide for themselves. And if your parents have passed away, I understand this will look very, very different. But since this command really extends to the people who are in authority over you, people in a higher position, this can mean honouring them in your workplace, respecting the law, and generally honouring people who are older than you. But what does it actually look like to honour your father and mother in day-to-day life? As I've already said, this will look very different for a lot of people. Unfortunately, because of limited time, we only have enough time to look at a couple of examples. But I thought we could maybe look at a couple of slightly less obvious examples just to try and set out some principles on what it looks like to honour our parents. So for me personally, this command looked a little bit different, because when I was 10 years old, my dad unfortunately passed away. And so in my case, I didn't have a father to honour. So obviously in that case, I honour my mother. So while I'm commanded to honour my mum by respecting her, listening to her advice, obeying the rules of her house, the way I honour her also takes on other roles, such as being the man of the house, helping with different tasks that my dad would have done. It means maybe taking on more responsibility, making sure she doesn't have to do the work for two people. You see, this isn't a three-step way to know how. There isn't a three-step way to know how to honour your father and mother. So we must seek God's guidance in this and see how he would direct us to honour our parents. Another example that really presents real difficulty is in a situation where maybe a parent has abused a child, or a parent isn't allowing their child to follow Jesus. I include these two examples together because this really comes around the fact of obeying parents and that aspect of honouring. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul repeats this command to honour your father and mother. This time he says, obey your parents in the Lord. After he says this, he says also, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. If a father provokes his child to anger, maybe through abuse or through disallowing their child to follow Christ, this really complicates things. Take, for example, if a child has heard the gospel and wishes to give their life over to Jesus, but their parents will not allow it. In this scenario, obedience to God has to come before obedience to parents, because the child's sin can only be forgiven through Jesus' work on the cross, through faith in Jesus. However, in this scenario, the parents can still be honoured, because they can show the love of Christ to their parents. Here, obedience to God has to take precedence, but honour can still be shown to the parents. The Bible tells us to love our enemies, and so even if our family is acting like an enemy, we are still called to love them. If you're a Christian this morning, you have experienced forgiveness of all sins through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. And so although it may be painful, we need to try and love and forgive our parents in all situations. This will not only help you heal, but it's also saying that you're handing it over to God and that he will deal with that situation. The Bible sums up the commandments into two simple rules. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbour as you love yourself. At all times, we need to strive to love our parents as we love ourselves, to do to them as we would want done to us. And so while considering this commandment, really at the heart of it, the most important thing to do is honour our Heavenly Father. And so to see the perfect example of this, we look to his Son, Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 2, we are told that Jesus submits to his earthly parents. He submitted to them and showed honour to them throughout his whole life, perfectly. However, the whole of Jesus' earthly mission was dependent on him being obedient to God, honouring God, his Father. When Jesus was on the Mount of Olives, just a short time before he was to be crucified, he prays this prayer to his Father, to God. He says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus wished that he did not have to suffer this death on the cross, but he knew that it was what God wanted him to do. And so he just says, I don't want this to happen, but if this is what you want me to do, then I'm going to do it. Jesus then displayed the most difficult act of honouring his Father by willfully dying on the cross. And because of this, he offers forgiveness of sins to all who will put their faith in him. Ultimately, God is our Heavenly Father, and the church is our family. And so whether you have parents or not, there is comfort to be had in knowing that you have a Heavenly Father who will never leave you, and your Christian brothers and sisters who will be with you in eternity. We should strive as Christians to follow the example of Christ. He submitted to his earthly parents. He honored them in all things. He showed them love, forgiveness, grace and kindness, as he has shown that to us. And if we show this to our parents, we will surely honor them. And also following the example of Christ in all things as our first priority, we are called to honor God with reverence, obedience and gratitude for everything that he has done for us. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul repeats this command, but also repeats the promise. He says that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. And in Colossians he tells us to obey our parents because it pleases the Lord. We honour our parents ultimately because it will please God. If we have faith in Jesus, we will obey God's commands, and instead of looking forward to the blessing of the promised land in the Old Testament, we can look forward to the eternal promised land, where we will spend eternity with our holy Heavenly Father, who deserves all our praise and honour.